Morning. What we're going to do is I'm just going to show you this way. Okay? Everybody see it? Working good? I don't know what to do, actually. I'm lost without doing it that way. How was harvest? That's old news. Never old news. I'll just assume you can see it, okay? How's that sound? All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning, family. Cyclones won last night, I saw. Yep. There's a handful of people excited about that. I wanted to start this morning with just a few family updates. So Jeff gave a brief thing on his health last teaching time, and I just wanted to give a very brief report that he had two stents put in, and all is well. So he wanted everyone to know. He's been texting me wildly, which means he's in good spirits. So that's good. So he's in good shape, and he'll be leaving for Hong Kong on Tuesday morning. So he'll get right back at it. The other family thing I wanted to update you on was our budget, on our budget numbers for the end of the year. So we did a good job. We had 80 to go, and we got 50 of it in the last little while. So the good news is we had a long ways to go, and we got quite a ways there. The bad news is we didn't get all the way there. That's the bad news. So we need to continue to shepherd that. We are working on, for 2019, having a little bit different process, perhaps, of kind of a planning and intentions that we can shepherd in our churches. So we'll give you more information on that in short term here, the next few weeks perhaps, or in a month from now, so you can plan and shepherd that in your church as well. The other financial thing in review for 2018 is we always ask for around $80,000 for the conference. And I think we said this a few times, but as we reflect on the year before, it's always nice to hear the, you know, kind of where were we, how do we meet some of our goals. And we got 81,000. So we exceeded that by just a little bit there, so that was really good. Is that going to be ready? Good. Let's see if it works. Can you see it? Nope, it's not the right one. Although, I should tell you, that is a really good article. If you want to read that article about how Westerners misunderstand the Chinese culture, that's a really good one. Get your head around. Ask me if you want to read that one. I'll give you the link. Okay. What we're going to do this morning, I hope to, and I'm going to say hope, because I don't want to spend a lot of time up here telling you a lot of things, but I do want to frame in planning our lives in 2019. That's what we really want to talk about, is planning our lives. So on the left-hand side here, my wife and I, this is our planning. This is a sheet that we did together. We sat at a coffee shop, and then the last week, I feel like the only thing I've done is done planning on where I'm going to go in 2019, trying to get regular dates on calendars and those type things. So it's a good time of year to be doing these activities. So that's what we're going to be doing. I already gave you that one. On the update on Jeff. Meetings for 2019, just another brief little for your own orientation and planning. We'll have apostolic team meetings every second Monday of every month. And we're going to have all leaders meetings every other second Monday of every month. So that way you can plan and coordinate your calendars accordingly. We'll do cluster reportings on some of those. We're going to do initiative reportings on some of those. And we're going to do what I'm calling family discussions on some of those. So you can plug those into your calendar. Also, the second generation benefactor team, those are the dates we'll be meeting. Although, where's David and Todd? He's with kids. I think I'm missing a date on there, Todd. January 14th, 11, 13, and then we don't meet all summer? That seems odd. But nevertheless, the second generation benefactor team will be meeting actually after the, for most of the time, we'll be meeting after the apostolic team meeting over at David and Rachel's house. Okay, I told you about the budget numbers, and I also told you about a planning and shepherding worksheet that we're going to be working through. So, let me get into the meat of what we want to talk about. That is planning our lives. All of us planning our lives. And I think the best psalm for the, or the best way to start this is Psalm 90. Now, let me just give you a little introduction here before we start, before I read this psalm together with you. Psalm 90, how do I say it to you that makes sense? Because sometimes it makes sense here and here, but you can't make it sense here. Psalm 90, as the years go on in my own life, this psalm makes sense. No, how else to say it? It talks at the end. It talks about that it's the work of our hands, and I feel like in 2018, that's really one of the things that I know we learned. I learned about establishing the work of our hands and just the majesty and glory of God in this one, and how man is so frail, yet you'll see at the end here, man has a work to do, and God wants to make it, and the prayer of this psalm is that it's manifest, the work is clear to man, even though we're so frail, even though we have to count our days, and we only have 70 and at best 80 years, according to the psalm. So just what you need to get in your minds is the grandness, the majesty, the glory, the omnipotence, the greatness of God that words can't explain, and the frailty of man and that tension, and yet how he wants us to, the work of our hands, he wants that to be clear to us. So let's read it. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. This is from the NRSV. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust, and you say, turn back, you mortals. And so at a lot of funerals, I know this is when you're out at the site, this is often the one that's read. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away like they're a dream, like grass that is renewed. In some of the versions it says like grass is renewed each morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and it withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities, our sins, that is, before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The The days of our life are 70 years, perhaps 80 if we are strong. And even then, their span is only toil, it's only trouble, and they're soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So what? He says, in spite of those things, so teach us to count, teach us to number, teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. A key verse there. What does it really mean to count your days? And what does it mean to have a wise heart? Teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. And evidently I thought it was worth repeating again. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad, be thankful. Just like Colossians 2, 6 through 8 says, we may be thankful. We may be joyous, full of joy, full of life in all of our days. Make us glad. Make us full of joy at the fullness. As many days of you has afflicted us, and as many years have we have seen evil on this earth. Let your work be manifest to your servants. That is, let your work be made clear. Let it be evident. Let the work we have to do, let it be evident. Crystal clear is what it's trying to manifest. To your servants, in your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper us for the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. That, family, if we could just in our lives understand the words of that psalm, that would be enough. Because it's hard for us to get 100% of everything that's being said up there, I think. Because I was preparing and read this psalm again, and I thought, oh my goodness. Anyway, I don't want to spend the whole morning talking about this psalm, but I do suggest to you to read this in your churches, meditate on this, pray over this, read it as a prayer. Look up the words, read it in different versions. Understand the intention of these words. Will go a long ways for us. Okay, so we want to spend the next 3 weeks talking about counting, numbering, planning our days. All right, so today I'm going to we're going to use life to the nth as our guide. Life to the fullest, life to the nth degree. So we'll use today, I'll just briefly cover the story aspect, purpose, and abilities, but then I have worksheets for, do we want to hand these out now? I have worksheets for that we're going to fill out and we're going to work on together. I'll focus, I just had three thoughts go through my brain. We're going to focus on purpose this morning. I'll highlight the others, but we're just going to focus on purpose. Next Sunday, we'll do legacy and strategy. And then January 20, we'll do habits. And in particular, habits of your heart. And some ways you can be disciplined through the years. All right. I'm going to wait to hand those out. Brief introduction about life to the nth. It's about living life. The whole intention is that how do we, if this world and this life is full of affliction, as Psalm 90 says, how do we still live, in our SV said glad. Now in our common day tongue, the word glad doesn't communicate what really the fullness of what that word in Hebrew means, but it's a fullness. It's a joy, an overflowing cup of joy. So if this life is full of sin and affliction, how do you get there? So this is the process. It makes we all want to. I'll tell you this: make a difference, have an impact in this world, starting with our own family and communities. No matter where I travel in the world, no matter if they're Hindu, if they're Muslim, if they're atheist, if they're agnostic, if they're Christian, every person, they want their life to have meaning and purpose. No matter what. Now, how they go about that in their worldview is can be very different, but everybody has that common. They want their life to have meaning and purpose. They want to be living in their sweet spot of how God created them. So how do you get there on this side of heaven is the question. And this is a tool that we've created as a process to help us in a disciplined way get there. The Hebrew word chokmah, which is the word for wisdom. In Psalm 90 there it says wise heart. That's wisdom. The Hebrew word is chokmah. What it means is skill of living. I always say to my boys, what does wisdom mean? What is wisdom? What are you trying to attain? And they get so annoyed with me because, Dad, I've already told you 48 times over the last 3 years. Wisdom means skill of living, practical living. It's not this grand thing that you get a PhD for. It's a skill of living. So this is only attained when we build our lives around a core sound principles of living and then practice them regularly. We must get a sense of where we are going in this life, then focus on habits and processes of acquiring that wisdom across a lifetime. If you don't design your life, I always use this last phrase when I was leading in the business world because it was just so non-religious, but yet so religious. So principally based in the Old and New Testament. But guess what? If you don't design your life, chances are, high chances, pretty much 100% if I could tell you, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they got planned for you? Not much. Not much. Not much at all. So if you don't plan your life, there's two paths, says Proverbs. Starts you off on two paths. So there's the wise path and the foolish path. So that's what this whole process is about, is keeping our lives on that path. I just have a few more slides here, and then I'll hand these things out, and we'll go to work. But there's six parts of the Life to the Nth book, and we're gonna shorten it a little bit for purposes of this environment. Abbreviate, that's the word I was thinking of. I don't know if you've ever, those of you that have gone through Life to the Nth before, I don't know if you've ever seen it this way, but the first four are really planning, and the last two are really living it out. Those are my words, I inserted that, but I really feel like the first four are really planning it all, and then the final two are really like the book of James in the New Testament. It's all this planning is really good, but if you don't do anything with it, then just vanishes. So we start with your story, which is your historical circumstances beyond your control that have shaped your life. Now, we're not going to go a long ways into that this morning at all, but I want you to know that is a very important part. If you want to do that, we would really encourage you to do that. Your purpose, which is what we're going to do this morning, it's in light of your story. All the things in your life that you can't control when you were born, who you were born to, what culture you were born into, the years that you were born, you can't control any of that. And so you got to write that stuff down and you got to, or at least talk it out and figure out, how has that shaped you? Why does that's your story, but then your purpose is in light of that, why do you exist and what do you have to contribute? You are uniquely made. All of us have something to contribute to this body, and we happen to be sitting here, sitting and being alive, and we happen to be in the same culture, we happen to be in the same state, we happen to actually be in the same city locales. So what? And we happen to be in the same church that's called us to the way of Christ and his apostles, the root of the paradigm, to the ends of the earth. We all have something to play, a role to play in that. That's not actually a mistake. You're not just here by chance. You have something to contribute. So we want to try to figure that out and make it manifest, make it clearer. Your abilities, which is in light of your purpose, what are your unique gifts? How do they fit into your role? And then your legacy, what are you passing on to others? How will you be remembered? Another way to say it is the old pizza commercials used to play when I was a kid. What do you want on your tombstone? That's that one. That's funny, Darren. That's funny right there. That pizza was junk, by the way. Wasn't it? Pizza was absolutely terrible. I apologize to those of you that eat tombstone pizza yet and love it, but I think it's junk. Your legacy, what are you passing on to others? How will you remember? What do you want on your tombstone? Living it out, then, your strategy. The fifth one is making your legacy a reality. Focusing on your whole life strategy planning. A lot of tools out there take pieces, but it's not a holistic view of the world. And then finally, your habits. Carefully developing habits and discipline that serve you across your entire life. Okay, this is what your My Story timeline looks like. Some of you have that. If some of you don't have this, this is a powerful, powerful tool for all of us. I would really encourage, we're not going to do that this morning, but I did want to show it to you. Very powerful tool. Gives you good, great insight, I think, into your life. Your abilities, there's a worksheet for that as well, which is that's the third step in this. But we have three ways to kind of get your abilities today, and that is to do it in the Life to the Nth book, to work through the identifying book. I should have put a picture of it up there, but it's a green book. I'm sure that really helps, the green part. But and that can lead you through that process, or you can get the most advanced one is to get your full map, your motivated ability pattern. So any of those three are good ways to get into this, your abilities. But here's what we're going to do the rest of this morning. Your purpose. And then this is the worksheet that I'm going to say get to work on. Are you with me yet? You following me? So, your building blocks of wisdom. If you look at Hebrew wisdom, there's four chokmah. There's four main pillars of wisdom. Four main areas of wisdom, and they are this: your individual, your family, your community, which includes your city and your church family, and then your global community. So let me define them quickly. Your individual, stewarding the development of your own mind, and in our context, this is especially your theological education development, especially your Christian development, especially your how do you understand the words that God left us? How do you continually stay on that path? And that's I can stand up here and yap and yap and yap, and then Keith gives me the signal, shut it down. But the reality is all of you have to do that process on your own, so that there's an individual aspect of wisdom that must take place. There's also a family aspect of this. We all are part of a nuclear family, and that is really the base of your life. And so that's an important part of understanding and of how to have a wise heart and mind. Third, community. This includes your church family, it includes your neighborhoods, your city. As Christ followers, we want to seek the welfare and be an impact on our city. So we need to We need to have an impact. We need to do discipline and renew our mind. We need to have stable and functioning families. But we also need to, God has put us in communities and church families and cities. And how do we have an impact there? And finally, the fourth one is, we are all part of, and this last one's probably the toughest one for everyone to get their head around, but it is critically important, especially for us. And I say us because we are stewarding the way of Christ and his apostles and the ideas of that in the globe today. And so it's very important that all of us have that perspective of we're part of shaping a global conversation about these matters. Global community. We are each part of a state, that is, in our case, Iowa, but a state or part of a nation, the United States of America, which, because of technology, is part of the whole world. I don't know how many nations are there? 100 and... Somebody Google it. 192, depending on what governments are doing this morning. There's some approximation of that. In our world today, each area has a unique culture and language, and we are all part of the world, a global village. Thus, we have the opportunity to shape or at least be part of the global conversation. And for us, that's especially true for the way of Christ and his apostles. So, with those things in mind, I would like us to get to work and fill out these worksheets, and then we'll talk about it. Thanks, Sean. While these guys are can I get some guys to hand them out? You need a few more than that, Sean. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Randy. So here's what we'll do. Is the top I inserted in numbering your days? The first one is number your days you've lived. Take your age, multiply it times 365, and write in how many days you've lived. Then the next one, yeah, Aaron, it's a lot of math, but get your calculator out. The next one is your days remaining. Years you think you have left, multiply it times 365. And then talk at your table about all these other spheres. And I'll bring you back probably in, I don't know, I'll bring you back and we'll ask for people to share. Let's talk about it a little bit. All right. Do we have someone that can carry around a microphone? Let's share it a little bit. Something you could do, if you would like, if you want to share something, you can just talk about it. Your other option is take a picture of it with your phone and text it to me. That's another. So then we can throw it up on the screen. We all can see it. So I really prefer the second one because I want to see, even if it's just a single sentence, I think that's good. All right. While you're thinking about that, I would like to also know how many of you have more days remaining than less days remaining? Raise your hands. Raise them a little higher. I want to see what percentage of that is that. Let's say a little bit more than half. How many of you have less days remaining than not remaining? And how many, okay, it is about 50-50 maybe, I guess. How many of you have there is a third option to this, believe it or not, I think. Does anyone know what it is? What's that? Yeah, exactly. How many of you have the exact days lived and the exact days remaining? One, two, three of us. Three of us. We really like specific math. It's really. Okay. That was my time kill. So now it's time for you to share.
I'll start. I'm the oldest guy in the room. I'm shooting for 90, so I've got almost 9,000 days left. But I got over 26,000 gone.
You have anything else to say about your math? Or
I'm shooting for 90 because my parents lived to basically 90. So
oh.
That's both of them made almost 90. So. Nobody knows for sure. And my individual purpose is to finish the race, even at 90.
Finish the race. All of you that have less or more than 9,000 days remaining, did you see how simple his life purpose statement is? I was at some of the tables, and some of our life purpose statements are like half a page long. And it seems the life purpose statements that I've seen in life to the nth is, as your years go on, your life purpose gets, you get clearer and clearer on what your life purpose is, and you're able to say it in a handful of words.
I have lived 11,688 days, give or take. And I have roughly 24,106.5 left to go. So that half is confusing. But I did 0.25, 365.25. But I think I stopped playing secular music about a year ago, and I don't want to do that. I want to start an epic gospel rock band.
Oh.
And there's a long story there, but gave up my beautiful death in Jerusalem for you guys. The one thing I can give you is to, I want to destroy your paradigm of glorifying God quietly. So I'll take a sledgehammer to that. I think that's what I can do for you guys.
All right. Was that your life purpose statement, JoJo? Or? Yes, that was a life purpose statement. All right. Some have aggression in their life purpose statements. Caleb?
18 and change gone, 13 and change left.
So you're in the third category of half and
it
half.
It says at 80 at the most, and I'm 42. So mine. Continuing the simple theme, the theme that goes through here in every category is I want to help people understand the way of God more accurately. That's Acts 18, Apollos.
And can hang on a second, Caleb? Is it just me, or I can't hear very well? Can everyone hear him?
How about now?
So. In every category, it's the same thing, variations on a theme. Help them understand the way of God more accurately, and help them live in a manner worthy of the calling they've received. Everything else is just variations.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Caleb, I'll also share, you texted me about it. Caleb has another really good implication of what we're doing this morning. Explain that, Caleb.
If you are a currently enrolled Antioch School student, put your hand in the air. Okay. The thing that we're doing right now, you can use for credit. You have to do a life to the nth plan, not because green check marks are academic credit exercises, but because you need to develop your ability to do ministry well. So take this home and flesh it out into a life to the nth plan revision and put it on the build cloud and get your green check mark. Advertisement over.
Excellent insight, Caleb. This side of the room is winning 4-0, by the way. I'm not keeping track, but maybe I am.
I wanted to encourage you to remember the first thing that Caleb said. If you want to do ministry well, and then he wound up by saying, and then you'll get your green check mark. I'm newly impressed with the power of being able to think through this process as a life development strategy that you need for ourselves, but for everyone around us, regardless of their age or state or disrepair of life at that point. So don't forget the first part of what he said, okay? Just while I have the mic, I'd like to sing a... No. I can read my purpose statement. It says... it starts out with sort of a statement. It says, adjusting by degrees the trajectory of a life or an organization has profound long-range consequences. Okay, adjusting by degrees at the beginning of a trajectory has profound long-range consequences. So my unique life purpose is to catalyze the development of potential in individuals and organizations by adjusting by degrees at the beginning of trajectory.
Ah, excellent. 1 degree at a time. Anybody on this side of the room, the west side? We'll go to the other side of the railroad tracks and go to the east. Depending on where you grew up, the east side of the tracks could be good. Could be bad, too. We always put the sick cattle on the east side, so when I grew up, that's my timeline. You guys are all sick. You guys have a lot of potential. You guys are all probably not going to make it. That's my encouragement for you. Randy, you're not a sick cow.
I'm not a sick cow. I'm very optimistic. I think I'm going to live to be 105, so I've got 24,000 days left.
Wow. Woo.
Lots of time.
It's going to be lonely. For those of you that didn't hear the commentary, his wife said, he'll be lonely.
Unfortunately, I had just done this a couple of months ago for the first time, and so I could share my unique life purpose statement.
Excellent.
And I wrote, use the gifts and stewardship with which God has endowed me to lead my family, care for my elders, pass along the wisdom of God's word, and live my life as an example of God's grace and love.
Wow. It's excellent.
Yeah, I was just thinking as we were talking here that you have some examples like Caleb and Aaron, where they have specific ideas of what their individual purpose is. And then...
Randy,
yeah. Gave us a more general example. And that was one thing, just talking with John. Sometimes you can get hung up on, gosh, I don't know what my individual purpose is, and I don't know what my specific purpose is in each of those categories. But the Word does give us a lot of general foundational things, the ideas of, worship God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and pursue wisdom, things like that. So that's a good place to start. If we're not sure exactly where our individual purpose is, at least we know there are general purposes that apply to all of us that we can focus on and start living our lives, I guess, according to those.
Yeah, really good point. We all should be pursuing wisdom. My life purpose statement is to lead leaders to have an impact in their sphere as my, and this is the part I added this year. So that has been my life purpose statement. But now I added this year, 2 weeks ago, I added, my youth is over and my life now belongs to Christ and his apostles. And I screwed it up. My life belongs to Christ's plan and his church built by his apostles or something like that. So lead leaders to have an impact on their sphere. My youth is over. My life is not my own anymore. This life doesn't belong to me. Surely the Staker Enfield's got something. I'm going to pinpoint those people.
We went a different route, of course. But in the discussion, Dia pulled her work out from When we first did Life to the End, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and the curiosity is looking at that and then going back. We have our timelines, too, and looking at that last stage. And Daryl and I always joke that at 63, my previous generation, nobody lived past that as a male. I've blown by that by a few months, so looking at the next 70 to 80 years, but the purpose changes, the overall big purpose, but you become more focused, as Don said, I said over here when Don said that, I've heard that before, because Don and I have talked that endlessly for the last 20 years, watching the generation in front of us not finish. And looking at the second generation, how do I finish and make my purpose that? So my timeline is helping establish the work of this and supporting the next second generation, and then working in Des Moines to make sure that that grows and becomes stable. So the thing we were talking about is just how, well, Daryl's the oldest of the group here, and looking from that range of fairly old to quite young, your purpose changes in some of the details, but keeping that, as you said, your youth is over. That's been true for a while. You just didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And also that your life belongs to, not you. And several of us have been reminding you that several years now, that that realization. And as you get to the end, you become maybe a little more urgent and more focused. And so reworking our purpose, it's going to, I think, be more focused and more urgent.
Mm. As I've reflected on my life over the years, and I think everyone can say this, is that it's really a study of forensic science. And what I mean by that is God's fingerprints. And I've had significant people, individuals in my life, some good, some bad, mostly bad, but in the result of it all, it was good, because God helped me overcome that. But there were also significant events in my life that moved my understanding light years ahead. So, I encourage everyone to do their story and look at it in detail, because when you do, then you're going to see the Heavenly Father vividly.
Keith?
Mike, when did your purpose change? You said you added to it 2 years ago. But what about the purpose that you had before that?
To lead. So my life purpose statement is to lead leaders to have an impact in their sphere. Mm-hmm. And then I added, my youth is over, which Jay has been telling me for a couple of years, but I just didn't listen to him. And that my life belongs to... So, that first part, the lead leaders part, I had that in my early 20s.
Well, the reason I was asking was because, your purpose probably has changed over the years, and that there's oftentimes you aren't aware of it until it already has changed, and that you're doing, like in your case, you're involved in that kind of work and are now. And it's probably as much that as with, and you don't want to make it sound like it's just this urethral thing, but, God steps in your life and changes you at times. And that's what we got to watch for, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I can tell you that in my own journey, I can, Daryl, Keith, Jay, I can tell you where I was standing. I was on the Boonder farm. I was on the three-corner piece. It's 38 acres. I can tell you I was on the fifth pass over, because we have AB lines, guidance lines. I can tell you right where we were spatially. I can go to the latitude and longitude of right where it was, and I was listening to a radio station. I was 24 years old. And I was planting beans with the 1780 planter and the 8420 John Deere with the duals up front. Now, I'm just telling you all those details because I know it was a nodal time, and I got a sense. I was tired as all get out, so it could have been either lack of sleep or Mom's pot stew thing she always makes for planting and harvest. It tastes really good, but if you're hungry. But if you're not hungry, it tastes like junk. But anyway, God bless Mom. But I got a sense that I needed to stop planting beans, which is as farmers, you don't stop. If you need to pray, you pray while you're working. You don't stop to pray. That's dumb. So I stopped to pray, and I had a prayer that said, God, use me. And that's all I prayed. God, use me, and I just prayed it over and over, and I was all alone. It was 12:30 at night, in the middle of the field, and there's nobody around, you know. But I'll tell you, from that time on, it was fairly clear that I had to lead leaders. I didn't know how. I didn't know what it meant. Because a week later, I got a phone call from the church that said they wanted me to be an elder at the church. You know, I was 24, and I was like, well, that's a bad idea. But I did it anyway, and it's ultimately led me to this. But, yeah, God shapes us. God's fingerprints are all over our lives. Anything else? Annie?
Before I share mine, I want to say, so Caleb helped me take all of the work I did and pull it succinctly together. And I just wanted to encourage people who are struggling to come up with a purpose to seek out people who have come up with one, because they can help you realize things that maybe you didn't realize, or those sorts of things. So mine says, as a child of God, I purpose to use my talents towards the expansion of his church through my role as a wife, mother, mentor, friend, employee, and helper to the world around me. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to hear from the generation after me.
All right. Anybody else? I hope this is a beginning of a process. I do encourage you to do this in your if your churches, if it works. I encourage you to do it in your family this week, if that works. And there's a lot of different ways you can do this. But I would encourage you, beginning of the year is a good time to get back into these processes. Next week, we will do the next two that I told you about, strategy and something else. And then the third week, we'll do habits. So do this with me. Let's end with I'm gonna pray by reading Psalm 90. Can we do that? And you know what? Can you read it with me up here? I'm gonna show it up on the screen. And as a prayer, let's pray this together. And verse 12 is in there twice, so we'll read it twice. It's just how it is, all right? So let's pray this psalm all together. Here we go. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust, and you say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passed, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, and they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all the days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. A day of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80. we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of our Lord be upon us, and the prosperous work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Amen.